Okay, we're rolling.
We'll go ahead and call the meeting of the WEDC to order, 5:30, July 11th. And Mr. Jones, volunteer, please indicate.
I am volunteer.
Happily volunteer.
Submit.
Give me submit.
All right. Dear Lord, help us do your biddings. We want to do your biddings, and not only for our community, but for our nation. To learn to follow the values and love only as you have tried to teach us. Please make us a commitment to follow these values, whether we're new citizens or old citizens, and follow the, your word, because only you could have given us the power to do that. In your name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. In honor of the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
I like how you always get it going, Pat. You don't wait around, you know.
If you do it, I'll never get started.
No, well, there.
We got an extra chair up here.
Number two, roll call and certification of a quorum. Everybody is present and the quorum is certified. Number three, consideration and action to approve the agenda as posted. Anybody like to motion to approve that?
Make the motion to approve the agenda as posted.
Mr. Flores, motion. You have a second?
I'll second.
Danny, second. Is there any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Number four, public comment. Anybody knocking down the door?
No comments, but we do have one grant application that did not come in time to get on the agenda. It's from Brooks Fender.
Yep, that came in to me Tuesday evening.
Okay. I did not have time to print it out, but I have sent an email of all of the application to all of you, so okay. You'll have it to consider.
Great. Let's move to number five. Question and comments from board members. Risa, we'll start with you.
Can you start on that side, please?
Yep. No. Rhonda, do you have anything here?
No.
Just one minor point. I am in town now most of the day, so I would invite anybody's call to get me out of the office to go get something. I'm available and happy smile.
Paul, do you have anything?
Nope, I'm good.
Danny?
Nope, got it for Danny.
Well, we had the experience to use the hospital. My dad had some surgery, and I don't think we could have spent better money. We were almost slobbered over.
Yeah.
It was so nice. I mean, if we got asked one time if we needed anything, coffee, tea, there was not an employee that didn't walk by and say hi, and it's just something that you're not going to get in any other, even in Brenham. I don't think you would be treated like that. Juanita came and introduced herself and wanted to know if there was anything that we could suggest. And the whole family was very impressed. And he was there for only 24 hours, but the care, just unbelievable. So
good to hear. You may not have seen it yet. Marlene wrote a nice letter about it to the editor. Mm-hmm. Y'all seen the paper?
Mm-hmm.
Who did? Your mom.
Oh.
Old news. You know
your mom.
You know. That Marlene.
I'm going to see her until we were done eating, and I'm sure everybody's talking about we're probably not even speaking or something. I'm like, we'll add to the ringer.
I have some. Tom Barron brought by the Turnbrines submitted their Part B application to the Texas Historical Commission. He gave me the confirmation of that. I meant to bring it, and it's sitting on my desk at the office. I'll email it to everybody, though. The part of the performance agreement, they had a year to do it. We think it was signed some early February, so they're well ahead of schedule and plugging along, and now they wait for the approval, which they hope will take a month or so. They'll start getting bids in the meantime. So.
Great.
Anything else? Moving on to number six, consideration and action to approve minutes of previous meeting held. Anybody had a chance to look at them? Paul, motion to accept the minutes. Is there a second?
I second the motion.
Great. Seconds, any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Number seven, consideration and action to approve treasurer's report, payment outstanding bills, and investments.
All right. Good afternoon, board members. Balance sheet is as indicated. We have $222,172.68 in the Austin County State Bank. And $128,086.61 for a total of $350,259.29 in our two bank accounts. For a total accounts receivable, I'm sorry, for a total current assets of $416,918.32 with total current assets. And total current assets of $815,404.17. Our total fixed assets are $1.686,103.80, and our liabilities and equities balance. Any questions on the balance sheet? For our contingency liabilities, it was noted that the current quiet zone, doesn't show our total earmark for that project, so that'll be updated in the next iteration.
That number's 168,793.
Plus the 14.
And I think let's separate it out so we, you know,
168,793.
Yes.
Point. That's it.
When do we expect the $14,000 bill? Maybe he forgot about it.
I reminded him, and he's like, "You're the guy I sent the bill to." That's right. So he knows. He just hasn't sent
something
yet.
Else when we.
I thought it was he was going to bill us when we got the final approval from the Federal Railroad Commission.
It could be. I mean, he's just.
I mean, we owe it anyway.
Yeah, we owe it, so it's waiting. So he's.
I think that was his.
Yeah, yeah. He's not in a hurry. So, as long as we know about it.
Another thing, if we could have maybe a good time with the budget and everything, have the two turn grind sections at the top, since those were 18 budget, we'll be moving into, you know, 2 years removed from there, maybe just have them combine the turn grind all together and like you can note those two.
Sure.
And then with the quiet zone, separate them. And then the med center, adding in the signage line, like if she's noted the IT purchases, she can put something like remainder for signage or something.
Yeah, and you know what? Just my opinion on things like the turnaround, when the projects that are done, just make them all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm fine with that too. Like, the reason she kept it, because we brought it up last year even, I think, is just because it was technically not done. You know, it's not the turnaround, but right. Either way is fine. But let's declutter
it. I mean, this is just a reminder for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just so as we, if for our planning purposes, so there's nothing legal about it. I mean, if we've paid the bill already, then we might as well take it off.
And then that Mockingbird landing needs to move down into
It needs to be moved to the bottom of
this expenditures that have been paid, because after tonight, assuming we approve it, it will be paid.
Correct.
I think that was it.
So our overall total grants plus projects approved not yet paid, $191,202.23. All right. The last update before our 2020 budget is as indicated. And when we get into the budget discussion, I have some proposals for the board for next year's budget and how it should be presented and how we're going to divide up some of the different areas. an area that I want to be a little bit more proactive in the future and be more proactive as an organization to track our budget. All right, any questions on the budget performance? All right, this is missing. Okay, so the payment requests, the current monthly bills are in there from the City of Belleville. We have a $395 from Associates of Rural Communities dues, $117.50 of legal fees, Belleville Times fees, Texas Economic Development Council annual dues. We have the Mockingbird Landing Business Improvement Grant previously approved for $10,000. And we have lawn maintenance of $700 and then Ms. Ludacruz monthly contract fees for a total of $11,916.09. I do have one additional bill here, which I will pass around. It is for service from Diane for her consultation work in association with the strategic planning committee. I have that here somewhere. It's for $3,300, and it's my request that that be added into our request for this month.
For how much, Rick?
$3,300 for 2 months of work.
I've got something too. Paul so graciously fronted us on our, so I was having some email issues and that I had looked in, finally got back into the account manager thing and figured out what was going on with mine. I got to thinking, because there was some renewal notice emails and this, I got to thinking how we paying for it. And Paul has been using his card since 2017. And so I emailed him, he went, oh my gosh, yeah. And he had given me all the invoices, clear as day, and they're sitting on my desk. And I just asked him, I don't have the exact amount, but I'd like to pay him somehow if we could. I know it's under $1,000.
What's your confidence? Around 700.
700 and something. Like, Jerry, when he reworked that email thing a while back, there was a big chunk. But what would be the appropriate way to give me the authority to do that? Assuming we get two signatures and everything. Is there a way to do that after the fact?
Yeah.
Up to $1,000?
Yeah, not to exceed. Do it as a not to exceed. And then...
still need two signatures like we
normally still need two signatures. And then we need to put it in the minutes. So when you've got a total like tomorrow, let me know, and I can put it as an addendum to the minutes.
Okay.
And say that's what the number is.
And it will be for hosting expenses, website services, like hosting expenses.
The sales tax.
And then the sales tax workshop from 7.
So it will be a Paul Jones reimbursement.
Yes.
Okay. For posting.
And I'll send the invoices to everybody. I'll black out all your other shit.
Okay.
And the next question is how are we going to pay that going forward?
Yeah, that's the next question. We used to have like a credit card or something.
Yeah.
But we had it, Monty Bird had it on his credit card.
Right.
And then I took it off.
I think it goes on Garrett's credit card.
Does it?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't mind that, but it's like, I'd like to figure out, I mean, I wonder.
Let's put on the LKL card.
I like it.
That's the president's.
Yeah, and I'll look into it too. I'd like to try to figure out a way to where, like, if there is turnover to, not just with the credit card, but like the who things go to, you know, like the login issue and that kind of thing. Maybe Leanne would be the best one to kind of have, not pay for it, but have registered. But
I'm sure they'll do an auto draft bank account.
Yeah.
Like yeah, they could do an auto draft.
That actually would be the way. If they'll do an auto draft, that's the way to do it.
And we could always get a debit card from the bank to.
Yeah, we've done it before, but auto draft would make it. Yeah.
That would probably be the best way. So we didn't pick it up because it comes under webmail.
Yeah.
And so my secretary.
You just assumed it was yours.
Wife thought it was part of my business expenses.
Okay, so I'll let you finish up. I was going to make the motion, but I'll.
So that was the final. This is the receipt from the invoice from Public Admin Consulting for $3,300. It is my only copy. I didn't want to waste another treat, but that is the one that I asked to be edited.
I've seen it.
Trust Texas for 2 months. And as part of the requirement that I gave to the city council, we would assess her service, and the consensus of the committee is that she is doing her service as requested.
Okay, well, I'll make a motion to approve Treasurer's Report, pay bills as presented, with the addendum that we will update the final number on the reimbursement for Mr. Jones in the minutes, when I put out the minutes tomorrow, if that's acceptable.
Up to 1,000.
Up to 1,000.
We have a motion. It's a second.
I'll second.
By Danny. Is there any
question? Yeah, I got a question.
Any discussion?
No, you know, on that grant for Mockingbird, the B&B, I mean, is it all finished?
I have pictures.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, has somebody gone over there and looked at it?
I did. Good.
But we can, only Donna can see it. And
hold on a minute. I'll fix y'all up.
I guess we'll
I can see it over here.
Oh, can you? Oh, you can see it over there. Really small, huh?
Well, now Donna can
see
it.
There you go. Now y'all have to move over here for
it. We have a visitor.
I'm taking the AMT report today.
I'm sorry?
The AMT report.
Oh. I'm just coming to...
Hey.
Yes. Okay. There is the before on the right. I mean, the before on the left. The after on the right of the front. So it's all painted. It looks better in person. I am not a good photographer. All right. There's the side. So definitely an improvement there. Then the deck. I don't think we paid for the deck, but just the back of the house. And did a tour of the house. It's gorgeous. These are some of the, we paid for flooring, right?
Yep.
Okay, so these two pictures are a little bit of the flooring. They had their first guest come this Friday, so they were still in hyper mode, trying to get everything done. This is the master bedroom. That's not the original flooring. It's got two bedrooms downstairs and four bedrooms upstairs, I think is what it is. These are two of the upstairs bedrooms. Very, very nicely done. The bathrooms are amazing.
Do you remember the amount it slept, the amount of people? Wasn't it like 10 or 12?
She's got 15 coming Friday.
Wow.
So they've got on this little back porch thing, this enclosure, has got a couple of pull-out beds. And then she's got a couple of rooms that like this. This one here is a double bed and a single bed, and it's got a little trundle bed. So I guess, you know, you could probably put four kids in that spot.
Do we know what they're coming in town for?
I didn't ask her. So.
Do you know what her rate is?
Mm-hmm. I can get it for you here in just a minute.
Okay. I'm curious for myself.
Okay, all right. The Bell Chamber of Commerce sent out a list a while back, and we'll try to pull it up, of all the Airbnbs in Belleville that are on the Chamber of Commerce, that are members of the Chamber of Commerce, and we're getting quite a collection of rooms. So, but anyway, they did a very, very nice job. So they did a lot of the work themselves. So. There's
okay, that answers my question.
Well, that I can be of help, Mr. Jacob.
Okay, got it. Got a motion and a second.
Yeah, all in favor? Any other discussion? All in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Mr. Green is here to give.
Moving on, yep. Number eight, consideration and action to approve the advertising tourism report from the Chamber of Commerce. Dave is here. Thank you for coming.
All right, so this past month was actually pretty busy. We had a meeting with the owners of Emery's Buffalo Creek, well, one of the owners and tour manager. And they had a big event out there on July 5th. It was like a 4th of July fireworks, music, food kind of event. And I went. It was a good turnout. It was really hot, but it was great. So we sponsored a radio ad for that event. And they are also going to be bringing back wine nights like they used to do when the previous owners owned it. So they'll have several of those over the next few months. And they'll do wine, music, food as well.
Open to the public.
Yes, like, open to the public. It'll be on Friday nights. And she has the dates. I don't know all the dates, but it's over the next few months until September, until their busy wedding season. But we also agreed to do some radio advertisements for that to help kind of promote tourism, hopefully bring in some people. She also talked to us. She wants to collaborate with the square and try to get more people shopping when they come in for those weddings. So we're going to work together to try to figure out how we can do that. We also have an event tomorrow night on the square. It's the Brew Crawl. So we sponsored a radio ad for that. And then we have a Remember When dance coming up in August that we sponsored an ad for as well. Farmers Market, we don't have market day currently during the summer, but Farmers Market has been doing very well. I sent some pictures to Garrett. I don't know if we'll have those.
There's one right here.
Perfect. So yeah, it's been a really good turnout. So it keeps growing. And I don't know if y'all saw, I think it was last month I sent you an article that was posted about Bella was one of the Farmers Markets included in that ad. And then we're also working on our next Round Top Register ad, so that's due by August 1st, and so we're getting ready to finish that up.
About that, there was that like 2-year business, what was it called? You know that, is it Shepherd Publishing is working on?
So they're working on, yeah, the Chamber Directory.
Maybe, was that it? Like, it was like a deal that started a year or two ago. Like
the Chamber Directory, and that's almost in the final stages.
Okay.
I'm done, we're doing all the edits right now. I just reviewed it on site, actually.
Okay.
So hopefully that will be published soon. And we did sponsor an ad for the hospital commission, so that's included on the list of expenses there.
Question. You know, the original plans for the pavilion included large ceiling fans.
Mm-hmm.
We decided we didn't want to pay for that at the time. Do you have any personal impression or heard any comments that something like that might?
I think that would be, great because it does. Obviously, we're limited in the summer as to how long the farmers market can go, and just events in general because it's so hot. So, I mean, if we have something like that, I've talked to a couple of people as far as events that I help run, those cool blue vans, those big giant vans. I mean, he runs them for about $150 to $300 an event. So, I mean, that could help as well, but I don't know the cost of those big vans. So, considering, I mean, I work for a home builder, so I know for some of like the farms we do, they get pretty costly, but I mean, long term, I think it would be great.
It's something we might want to revisit.
Mm-hmm. We also talked about putting plugs in the light poles around town. And I think, did you go to that meeting where we talked about that? The chamber meeting?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yeah. Just so, like, for market day, vendors or food trucks can plug in and have like, music.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. So that they can have electricity and it's not having to be run by the stores.
Is that what they're having to do now is plug it in the store?
They either have to bring a generator or one of the stores has to approve for them to use it.
It's the city manager.
I wonder how you keep people. I guess you can lock those things.
It'd kind of be the setup that they have at the park for the RVs.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure there's a way to.
Sometimes it's like a glass cover.
Yeah.
Maybe the chamber could approach the city manager, see what the feasibility is.
I think they have.
I think they have in the past, but I think it's been a while. We kind of talked about it at a meeting a few meetings back, just because we think it'd be beneficial for all of the events. And obviously, market day bringing more visitors that have electricity or need electricity.
I was told the other day they had a deal at Yanni's. What was it the other day, that business professionals and Tammy had said something about she approached Sean, but Sean said there's not enough electricity, they have to jackhammer some stuff out, so
yes.
I don't you know, the street. I said, well, there's street lights. Well, it must not be enough power for other things. I'm not aware. I think Donald was going to talk to him about it and see.
And these would be at the square.
Like
and
the square
by the pavilion. Is there electricity?
There's electricity in the pavilion. Yeah, the pavilion has electricity.
But the not around the square, like around the old parking meters or whatever around.
Yeah.
Well, I guess all of them take a cost somewhere on the line to do it. To if that would bring in more business and more.
The problem that so I help with the events in the square with the stores, not all of them, but a few of them. But the problem we run into when we have events at the pavilion is people don't walk up to the square and shop.
Right.
So it doesn't bring that tourism into the stores. I mean, some will, but it's not. Like even the car show, they're like people don't shop. So that's why we try to do events on the square so people are or like do events in the stores so people are actually in there shopping.
How many of the vendors request electricity?
So I know it's mainly the food trucks. I'd have to get with Tammy because she's in charge of market day, and I don't know.
And they do pull a lot of juice.
Yeah, I'm sure.
They require a lot of juice.
Like for music, we're having music. The event tomorrow, I'm going to have to ask one of the stores to let me use their electricity.
When it gets hot, there's a lot of vendors that want to plug in fans.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yep. Fans are one thing, but when they start firing up the griddles and things like that,
yeah.
I had them in front of our store once and blew all the breakers of the store.
they use generators, but they're really loud.
Yeah. Something to consider.
Any questions?
Thank you.
Any other questions? If not, we'll need a motion to approve.
Motion to approve the report.
Pat motioned. Any second?
Second.
Brian the second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Moving on, number 9, consideration action as needed to approve grant request from Life Changes Home Staffing. That's what we turned in just last month, right?
Mm-hmm.
For signage. I think so.
Yes, the signage.
Maybe next to Johnny's or something?
No, this is right next to the barbershop.
Yeah, they're down there. Just yes, Mark.
Yeah.
Right here by the barbershop, liquor store, that area in there.
Yeah,
behind Belleville Meat Market.
They moved into where the old that Baptist church, I think, was.
No, it's next to it.
It's kind of well.
Yeah, they're right there in the middle where the section goes in, and it's right there in the middle.
Okay.
Right next to the barbershop, next door to the barbershop.
Okay. Is that the amount?
Yeah, the sign cost is $11.90.75, so it'd be half of that.
Yeah, $595.38 would be the total. They've been in business a couple years now. Everybody had a chance to look at the application yet? Any motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve.
There's a
sign
on y'all.
There you go.
How big is that sign? It is, let's see, 9x3.
I think it's going to go like up where all the other, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Not there.
That's a meat bar.
That's the back of. That's at the.
Yeah.
Well, that's
on
looking.
The side of, that's on the.
That's on Loon Street, I think.
East side of 36. East side of the.
There it goes from there.
There it is.
Yeah, they're kind of back in the
room. The barbershop is 110.
Yeah.
And so they're right next door.
This is the income tax place.
Yeah.
Is that still a tuxedo place?
Yes.
Yeah.
Tuxedo place. Yeah.
There we go.
And 114 is a church.
Yeah.
That's right.
Clear?
Okay, I made a motion.
I second.
Danny second. Any other discussion on that? The amount you had, $595.38.
Yes, it would be half of their requested
$11.90.75. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Number 10, consideration action as needed on funding for repair of downtown lights.
Yes. I'm supposed to have something.
Well, you wanted to put it on there.
Okay, okay. Well,
and I can help you with this.
Okay, well, I've not heard back from Miss Bro. The lights are getting, I came through in the morning, and this side on the wine bar side is completely dim. I mean, we got more places every week that's swagging. I took pictures of them a month ago, and it's worse where they're not even on the tops of the buildings anymore, over Babel Abstract, First National Bank. I mean, they either need to go off.
Turn them off. Or, for now.
I mean, I've been knocking on this lady's door for over 3 months now, and, asking for a report, how can we help you, and not getting anything but pretty much smart aleck remarks.
So, quick history. Really? So, so EDC originally paid, it was 10,000 some odd for the lights, and I started Downtown Belleville Incorporated to run the lights because the city didn't want any liability for it. And so for the last 7-8 years, I've been taking care of it. Basically, and what I would do is we would work with the merchants and we'd come up with money or we'd get donations or whatever, and I worked with Ken Yanish from Yanish Electric to do it, and basically we just did it. We fixed them up once a year or if there was an issue, and that seems that it works pretty well. You've got to go in, we've got clips that go on, and you've got to go in with basically with a liquid nail and put them on, and usually the work is getting the strings back up. You wouldn't believe how many times the roofs have been redone around there, and so they get ripped off every time the roof gets redone. Generally speaking, the annual cost on it never really exceeded $1,500. Mm-hmm. I generally tried to get it done before Thanksgiving, before the Christmas shopping season started. And frankly, this time of year, it's light longer. When you get into the winter months, then you're seeing the lights at 6 o'clock in the evening. So last year, because we've changed over at the store, I'm not really as involved with the merchant. So last year, I turned over Downtown Belleville Incorporated to Denise Bro from Coco and Ducky. So she's got the bank account on that, all the events like they're doing with the brew crawl and all that kind of stuff. That's them, and they agreed to take over the lights. Now, Risa, last Christmas, took it upon herself to basically just, you guys had a bucket truck, and she came by and got bulbs for me that we'd already purchased and replaced the bulbs and basically got it done.
Well, there wasn't that much that we could do, though, because, these people were, like Carrie's building was fine. We were able to get that back up, and a few others. But if they didn't own the building, they were like, you have to talk to my landlord, blah, blah, blah.
What you generally have to do, the way it's worked, is if you've got a bucket truck, you just go up there and put them on.
And okay, we won't have a bucket truck until
That's what's required. And that was the deal I basically worked with everybody, is I won't get on your roof. Because for some folks, they have certain ceilings and coatings on the roof, and they can't have anybody up there. So the agreement was pretty much just, as long as you're in a bucket truck, and we go ahead and it usually was, it'll be this one and that one, and it's okay. The city actually pays for the lights, pays for the electricity, because it's low voltage, there's really no draw on it at all. And so they agreed to leave it on. We paid in the original installation, we paid to have meters put on each one, we paid to have the hookup done, the circuit fault interrupters put on, and all that kind of stuff. So really, it's a yearly ongoing maintenance issue. When we did this, the city was adamant that it didn't want the liability, even though every city around here, they have their crews doing it. Brenham has their electric crews doing it. Sealy city workers put them on. Belleville didn't want to do it. Didn't want the liability. Charlie thought it was a huge liability issue. So we worked this compromise. So a suggestion would be, if we wanted to, now I do think we probably need to bring Denise in, and I've actually put this ahead of the budget, so if we wanted to consider this in putting in the annual budget, I think it would be a fair number to put $1,500 aside every year and for repairs on the downtown lights. And it would need to go to Downtown Belleville, which I am no longer involved in, so I don't have any
contact. How do they get money?
The way we worked it was kind of a chip-in thing. So when they do the events, each store would put in money for the event, and we usually have been overage. And so we would just, and we had an agreement that the overage would go towards fixing the lights. The first year I went around and tried to collect from every building and building owner, and that was a nightmare. That was not fun. One year, First National just paid the bill. And I, you know, talked to Mike and he said, sure, no problem. So it just kind of, it was a, you know, it was a voluntary catch as catch thing. Now, if EDC is willing, if this board is willing to pay for the upkeep and we can get.
Well, I don't know if this is a money or a management problem.
Yeah, that's what I want to make.
Because I'm leaning way heavy on the management problem.
Okay.
Because I went in there.
Yeah.
Going, you tell me what to do. Friends of Bubbles got money. You know, I basically asked him, hey, give it to me. I'll take it. And I think it's more of a management problem.
Okay.
This is not, I mean, I talked to her last year. I got no response. We just went and done some ourselves. I've been in there 3 times this year, and, you know, saying, what, just tell me what to do. What can we do? Give me an update. Nothing.
Just replies, I'll take care of it.
Yeah, I'm working on it. We're getting bids.
We're probably have a question.
So can we revisit the city having the liability problem? Because maybe we could push a little harder. Because I'm thinking if you've got lights up, it needs to be kept up well, because, you know, you want it to look nice all the time. You don't want it to look nice part of the time. Can we revisit it with the city? Because they've got the workers to do it and the equipment to do it, right? So if we could push them a little bit, maybe, or the whoever push them, the city council people.
We still got the same city attorney.
I know, but if we push him and get him to tell us why, he's going to have to, if it's not really an issue and he's just saying that, then...
If they're not going to be on the roof. If
it's, well, they're on the roofs. They're on
the
buildings.
No, I mean, if the people.
Yeah.
If it's just going to be the bucket truck. That,
like a bucket truck tips over.
It was one of those things, and I've always been reluctant to revisit this because it was, I mean, I came for city council, and city council voted no and shot me down.
Can I ask how long ago that was?
8 years, 9 years ago.
Eight.
Yeah.
So can we ask again?
Sure, we can always ask again, but it's one of those deals where, you know. So I just kind of like, I did it as a workaround. I worked around the city on it. And we kind of had informal, Sean and Joe Ed were like, well, okay, we'll pick up the tab because it's nothing.
But do we have any clause in this at all? The city,
no.
The city's the only one, but they're paying the electricity, so I think the city has a little bit of claw in this.
Yeah, well, although the city will argue that basically they're just not billing. Since it's the city electricity.
I mean, but somebody to go, y'all either get this stuff straight or give it to somebody else.
Well, and that would be a conversation with Denise. I mean,
okay.
Denise really, technically, downtown Belleville owns the lights.
Okay.
Because that's the way we set it up.
Well, would you be willing to have that conversation?
Sure.
That's not one for me to take.
No, I'm happy to. I'm happy to.
Can you reset that up and let the city own the lights?
And
they'll take it back?
Well, we would have to go to city council. And it would have to be the. I'll just tell you the easiest way to do it is for just downtown Belleville to step up and if they were to, you know, get an electrician, and all it takes is just a real electrician. You know, you want to have a licensed electrician handle it, and and then say send us the bill as long as it's under $1,500 or whatever number we were going to reach.
I think that'd be a great use of EDC funds.
Yeah,
I've always thought that. But.
So you didn't get in the bucket truck then. So an electrician would get up, hang it if it was drooping.
All you have, there's clips.
Yeah.
It's basically a plastic mounting that goes on the top. You put a little liquid nail on there, put that on there, and then there's a clip that goes in and you replace the bulbs. And, you know, once a year I would, you know, buy bulbs. And that would usually last a couple of years.
Don't bulbs last longer than that now?
No, you'd be surprised. I'm telling you, it's amazing how harsh the sun and all that stuff is. When they're up there year round, you'll lose about maybe 20% of the bulbs or so over the course of a year. Yeah, I mean, they're LED bulbs, but it's still, it's, you know, the wind blows hard, the sun's...
We need to figure out.
I think for the time being, it'd almost be better to turn them off right now.
I
Oh, that's fine, and that's easy to do.
Yeah, then to, I mean, it's pretty junky looking.
I went about 2 weeks ago. I was driving by Memorial City at night and looked, and they've started, you know, first Memorial, the hospital had the blue book. Now they've got, like, all these other buildings bought in, and there wasn't but, like, four lights out on, like, 15 of those big, huge buildings, and I made me think of this at the same time.
Well, I do know where all the switches are, so I could go around after the meeting tonight and just turn off the bulbs.
Oh, yeah, you'd be my new friend. Yeah. I like rule breakers.
Is there a company that contracts the city to do this?
Well, okay, so originally we had the company that installed it, but they were charged, it was like $4,500 every time they came back, because they were based out of Dallas and they wanted traveling expenses, and it was like, I was like, okay, I'll find an electrician. So that's when I talked to Ken, and he just did it. So, you know.
I wonder if there's a way the city can get like a contract to get.
It's all going to be an issue of comfort on liability. I mean, there has been no issues with these lights, other than just putting them back up.
If they just had their guy, if they ran it through the city, then the city could manage it and keep a better eye on it.
Yeah, I mean, several,
contract,
you know.
Just like they do a road or whatever.
Jimmy from Heritage Electric usually takes care of the lights for the bank, you know, and they were originally part of that whole original
package.
They're
off. They're not on.
They're off now?
They're off. The banks are off, so I don't know if they're in bad shape or.
Nah, because they'd redone the roof on the drive-thru, and so I don't know.
Okay.
And sometimes it's a matter of, you know, if we got a hard rain, the CFI will break. I mean, so, you know, GFI, sorry.
No.
Okay, well, I will turn off the lights tonight. I will try to get with Denise between now and then. Maybe we can consider it next month when we talk.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
No formal action there anyway. We move on now to 11. Consideration and action is needed on 2019-2020 annual EDC budget.
All right, board members, this one sheet here, Leanne put this together. This is the current inputs for the budget. My proposal talking to Garrett was that we take this opportunity to present the opening argument for a budget presentation next month. But this is the opportunity for us to discuss certain things that have been asked for over the last year, specifically with, like, for example, breaking out income. If we want to add other items in here for proposal, like for the lights. So I wanted to offer this opportunity to go over the basic numbers as they are now, take inputs from the board, and then I can put that together for a budget presentation next month. Leanne will be here as the bookkeeper. Present the numbers, but she and I will work together on the budget. My proposal moving forward is that I will present a more engaged analysis of where we are financially. Leanne will, of course, maintain the books. She'll do that, but she, if you look at it from a corporate perspective, she'd be more the controller and I'd be more the CFO. So she will maintain the books, she'll do all that stuff, and I will present the health of the EDC as part of my report. Nothing's going to change much, but just now that I've had a little time under my belt and understand the paperwork, I think that's an appropriate role.
Did we all get one?
Yeah, he just
handed one. He's out there. But.
Yeah, well, you should have got it. He walked around and handed it out.
Maybe
in a pile.
I've looked in my pile. I didn't see anything.
I can maybe go make a.
I didn't.
Well, look all
well, yeah, I'll look in there.
I haven't seen one. I was looking. It's just a single sheet?
It's just a single sheet. Let me see if I got
one more. I don't have it.
Here's my original. You can have that.
Pat's going to. He's going to go run. He's going to get some.
That's all I got. Okay. You can have
this. I just don't want to have to.
He's making a copy. He's gone now.
He's gone, got it. So I would like the input so that I can put those together in something, and then that'll be part of my report. So we can look at projections. Another thing that talking to Garrett is I'd like to start putting together a five-year projection based on various amounts of money we have, how we are doing with the obligations we have compared to what we could use from month to month for immediate new grants, and so that we can kind of project where we are based on our burn rate, where we would be on our current income in 5 years. So that's where I'd like to take our budget look from just from a short term, and also look at a long term budget projection.
I think you first started hitting on it, Reese, on the income revenue side. What Rick's getting at with the breaking out is the sales tax number is also includes the utility, the mm-hmm. sales tax from the utilities.
Right.
And so it's harder to get a true, clear picture. And it's not much. It's a nominal amount, but it's still there. It's hard to get a true picture of how our economy, our sales tax related economy is doing. And I think just breaking those two out between the utility sales tax and true sales tax, or whatever the formal term is.
And the HOT, I don't know.
That doesn't come to us.
No, it didn't go to us. Yeah.
I know.
And then still keep the interest rate. So we basically have three lines. That'd be an easy fix. I think Leanne said back when Brian first brought it up, it didn't. So.
Why does the city sell it? Spend the HOT now? I know it
goes to the chamber.
It's going to the chamber.
Yeah, go to the chamber for marketing.
That's right.
It can only be used for marketing. Yeah, so you're projecting bumping the budget up.
Well, what I'm projecting and doing is looking at, because one of the questions one of the conversations that Garrett and I had was about, we have these major obligations that we're looking at. How does that constrain our need to fulfill the smaller grants with size? How does that affect our burn rate for those things? So I think that it would be a good tool to be able to see where we have and if there are any limitations of where we need to start thinking about putting the brakes on a little bit. From that perspective, we know we have our obligations. How much is our comfort zone for how much we want to spend on sign grants and other grants in a year, so that in 5 years we don't end up where we don't have any money because we've gone, our burn rate's been so high that we have now in a situation where our obligations are taking up all our money. So there is a static burn rate for the year. I think we're all pretty familiar with that, which is our expenses, the lawn upkeep, the utilities, and various different things. But it is a question of our long-term obligations. For example, the commitment we've made to the quiet zone, the quiet zone, and the turnover and other things, how does that affect our burn rate for the smaller grants? And that's what I want to project over a longer period of time.
All right, well, is there any way to, when I get through asking all these, I got some questions about this here, a little explanation I need. But, is there any way to see where these tax dollars are actually coming from? I mean, is there any kind of categories? Is there, there's no, because I look, like Gulliver Renal is looking at, they're moving out on 36. They will be outside of the bubble sea limits. That's a huge hit we're going to take, sales tax-wise. There, I don't know what's going to come back in there, but, that when we're doing this budget, it's so there's no way to know where
you can't,
these are.
You can't get, the numbers are confidential from the individual businesses.
Yeah, but there's no categories or anything? Like service or?
You have to do it, man. I got a list about a year ago.
Yeah.
Betty, that it didn't have the numbers of how much people are paying.
Right.
Everybody that pays it. So there's that.
Yeah.
But then it's trying to group those up, and there's a lot of unknowns. There's so many of these LLCs you don't realize that maybe pay a little bit or something mm-hmm. that we don't even know what they are. But I mean, maybe able to, you couldn't put a dollar figure though. Like, are we getting,
when you go to the comptroller's website, you can get a number for in the city,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think it breaks out.
Betty Holly can't get
no.
a more. Okay, then
so all the sales tax flows to the state.
Right.
And then the state cuts the city a check.
Okay, I figured maybe she got a more detailed report that we could see.
I don't. I think all that stuff is confidential, and I seem to remember, and it's been a few years since I looked at it. I think it was when I first joined the EDC board trying to figure it out. It's really kind of hard to figure out exactly where it's coming from. I was real curious. And a big chunk of it is our utilities. I mean, the sales tax and utilities is actually a very large
chunk. Okay, did we get anything off of San Bernard? No?
No, it's got to be within the city limits.
The electricity.
But their office is in the city.
Right. So, I honestly, I don't know who San Bernard uses for their for their utilities. I mean, I know the county pays.
Because San Bernard bills out of Belleville.
No, I don't think we get any of that. I don't
see,
think
because
so.
If I collect sales tax, I collect the Belleville rate because my office is in Belleville.
Right.
It doesn't matter if I'm doing work in Somerville or Burton.
You'd have to look. And I don't know. I don't know the answer to
those co-ops that follow different rules.
Yeah, and it's been,
they might be a non-profit. I mean, they're probably a non-profit.
It'd be interesting to find out.
But
if we could just get a better idea of who and what.
For what it's worth, I just do think that it's the general thing we need to know is what's the trend.
Yes.
You know, what's the overall number? And the trend, honestly, is how's the economy doing? You know, you can tell when things are doing well. Like right now, the numbers are up. You could tell when things started to slide. It's pretty much, you know, it's how our local economy's going. And when for the last, all 3 years, we've frozen the budget? Danny, the budget's been frozen.
We increased the revenue a little bit last year.
Did we? Okay, so.
Only based on that actual prior year.
Yeah, well, that's what we've been doing is actual, and it's been pretty flat. You know, we actually went down 10%.
Yeah, 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, 2 or 3 years ago. And it's been, this is really the first kind of robust, we're seeing an increase.
I mean, I'm sure BMP, when they went out, I mean, because they're just like us. They might do work in the Permian Basin, but we're getting the sales tax dollars because their office is in Belleville.
I don't know how that works.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why they'd be any different than we are. But talking about our company.
Sure.
But so I think that was a big hit to when they when the oil bottle fell out.
Oh, when all their drilling stuff, that's when everything went. Yeah.
But I don't know. It just seemed, and, you know, and maybe it would help us look into what just for EDC's health sake, what we need in town. You know, what pays sales tax dollars, and you know, the hospital's awesome, but there's not a sales tax dollar once. It reverberates in other things, but.
Well, it's like Berkshire Brothers, you know, some of their stuff has sales tax, but most of it doesn't, you know, because it's food.
Right.
So you just, it kind of depends. Bell's is probably checking out more.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't, you know, like ours, we very little sales tax that we collect, and so, but.
I actually collect lots.
Add the, number one, like the percent to budget column. And then maybe a year-to-date comparison, like a prior year, or maybe a prior year.
Well, that's one of the things, too, is that I want to be able to show you how we're projecting. So that if you have your previous reports, you can go look and compare, but I want to be able to provide, hey, here's a graph for 2018, and you can track visually where we're at. It answers a very small question, but it keeps you from having to go back and look at the previous ones.
So can you give us like a 5-year trend on income on sales tax?
I can give you a trend as far back as the numbers in the books are, so I can certainly do that.
2008.
But I can provide that, and I can also do some research if there's anything. I can understand the specifics of the companies would be confidential, but there may be a product where you can see, like you said, a certain percentage comes from here and a certain percentage.
It's the comptroller's website. State comptroller's website has all that info on it.
I'll look. Yeah. Maybe something's
strange. Yeah, I couldn't find anything. It's just the number.
Yeah, and that's all I've ever seen.
Yeah, okay.
And I think we actually do get a little hint because we get the city's breakdown on the utilities, so we are able to see that part of it.
Okay, somebody explain this to me. What is all this here?
Oh, that's the number we get each month? Yeah, Betty explained that to us.
A couple of years ago.
So put that like together.
So that's
it's gonna be.
That's a utility break.
Yeah, like it's utility rates. So you've got
electric, gas,
commercial,
garbage,
and you've got your gas, your garbage, and under the electric, I know, and you know all of us who pay who are on the commercial rates, we get hit with the commercial. We have a commercial rate, which is probably one of those. Electric rate numbers, and then one's going to be the demand charge.
Okay, so could we look at these numbers and see what our commercial, that would kind of give us a help of what the commercial businesses in Belleville are doing, if we could have that.
If we had a code over the five years,
is that possible?
Anything from the city that could probably give, because I know, for example,
this would be a commercial usage here then.
Probably, but I don't know. Sean could tell you,
because
I know several years ago I got hammered on my electric bill, and I went to Sean. He pulled my records, and was able to tell what was my basic electric and what was my demand fee. And I'll tell you, you get hammered on demand fee in the city of Belleville.
You can see, like, to the city site, like, even on your personal house, right? They have, like, if you have an online account, they have, like, a graph, like, trend, what you used last year at this month versus, it's kind of neat.
Well, I'll get with Betty and Sean and see if we can maybe get, because I think that would kind of help in some predictions and stuff.
I can do that.
It really is just kind of what's the overall trend. And we have been, so far, the last 10 years or so, we have been very safe on our budget when we said, you know, let's just use the actual revenues. And what we tended to find is, you know, a couple of years we'll bump it up and we know that we can do more than X. And a couple of years mid-year, you know, when everything went south a few years back when drilling stopped, you know, mid-year we were like, okay, we're going to need some course corrections. Just, you know.
Well, these demand meters, I don't know much about other towns, but it puts a bucket of cold water on when people are looking at. So I'm thinking other towns must not have. That's one of the huge things for Trump Cafe. And the indoor outdoor store, that's a big thing for them.
Well, it was a bugaboo, and I wrote a letter to the editor and came and complained for council several years ago. Belleville has a lower threshold for tripping the demand fee. If you look at where San Bernard is, I would almost never trip the demand fee. I have just one of my units at the store. When it kicks on, I got a demand fee. For some reason, the last 2 months, my bill's been low. My demand fees have been down, so I'm not sure what's going on. But it's a city council decision because that's where the city makes its revenue. You know, so it's so Belleville has always given residents a break and screwed commercials. Yes, and I fought this fight several years ago, and everybody was
okay. One thing I would say, you know, it'd be seasonal, I guess, you know, with the sales tax revenue for this portion. Hotter months.
Yeah. Usually
goes up colder.
Well, and it'll depend.
60 days away.
Well, this is the city.
It's pretty accurate. No, that's accurate. It's the sales tax that has the delay. We get from the state. The actual payments run 60 days.
This is the month delay. May 1 to May 31.
Yeah.
You know, something, I know we kind of bounce around on this, that I think would help us, you know, we've got this, call it plug number or whatever, on the budget, business improvement and development opportunities. That's where grants and other things that we do outside operating come from. And I think when we make motions for grants, whether it be the hospital turn, Barine, Assign, we should try to be more specific on where the money's coming from. Out of the reserves?
No, at this point, remember when we did our budget, we capped it at this number.
But we didn't, though, because, like, if we would have given the term run, I mean, we considered 500.
But that's a special project. So
that's what I mean.
What we did was when we did the budget for the grants, we said not to exceed this number here. The 137 number was what we gave.
So
the application within the business improvement program that we did. So it's when we do a special program outside of, so Mockingbird Landing falls within the budgeted. We can't give more than $137,000 to all the Mockingbird landings in 1 year. But we can look at how much do we have in the bank and say, okay, we're going to do a special project and we're going to give X amount to the hospital or the quiet zone or something like that. So now if we wanted to adjust and say, you know what, we think our special fund is getting low. This year we want to do $80,000 for the business grant program and we're going to put $40,000 towards future special projects or whatever number we want to do. We're perfectly capable of doing that.
We're allowed to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think at least my feeling was we had a pretty good chunk of change sitting in the bank,
absolutely,
and that still was it, yeah we
We're
still
gonna start cut.
It's just a question of what priorities this board sets.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to have an ongoing cash flow kind of thing and send businesses out, or do we want to, you know, for several years what we did is basically we saved, you know, for a couple of years, and that's how we paid for the pavilion. We wrote a check. And then when we did, you know, Bell Street, we saved up for a couple of years and wrote a check. So that's kind of how it just depends on how we want to do it. So if we're looking ahead, and maybe the way to do the projection, and a lot of this, I think, comes on what you're doing, the strategic vision. And it's what do we want to do as a strategic vision. If the idea is we want to have more of an ongoing kind of operating sort of thing, you know, we've talked about having an executive director and all that kind of stuff. Well, that would suck up most of the money. So if we wanted to do business grants and have somebody out promoting the city, that's one philosophy to move forward. If we want to say, hey, we want to save some money for projects, then we should look at having a lower number on here for the business grant and then be squirreling away some money for projects. And, you know, we have paid out, you know, between the hospital and then what we're going to pay on the quiet zone, and then when Turn Brine comes through, you know. So we do have to look at our contingencies and decide, are we getting to a number that we're comfortable having as pad, you know, so that we can still do a project. If, you know, the hospital comes to us and says we need $200,000 or we're going to go under, you know, do we want to give them $200,000? Do we have that money available? So that's really my suggestion as we go forward in the budget process is what is the long-term planning that as a board, and that's really what the budget document is.
And I think maybe I left out an important part too, like, so it's more, I think, the way we budget versus the way the P&L reflects it. Like, so if you look at our P&L this month, there's some title changes I think we should probably make too, some descriptions even, but like grants, BEDC sponsored projects, $140,000 almost. Like if somebody looks at that, they go, well, y'all budgeted less than that, we're not done the year. Like maybe it's they're not getting put in the right places on the P&L, I guess. You see what I'm saying?
Well, she's got that budgeted there. And I guess if you wanted to break it down further, if you wanted to say, you know, have a line for the business grant project, you know, this is the number we want for that this year. And that's really when we need to decide is when we do the budget. So if
we call it what the budget calls it, I guess.
Yeah.
Business improvement and development, and then right. Special projects.
Special projects. And special projects are the one-time things that come up that we vote on, and then we take to council, and council, you know, votes on, and all that kind of stuff.
And we can budget for special projects, but they're not coming out. They shouldn't affect our operating.
It's correct. Like, correct. All we're doing as a budget is our operating. You know, it's what we expect is our regular annual. And then special projects are special. They don't necessarily come up. I mean, we've gone years where we didn't spend anything, but then the next year we spent, you know, $600,000.
So can we put a line in there for the executive director so that we are saving money for him?
That's a board decision. That would be a board. We have a certain pool of annual. So what we have to do by state law, what we're doing here is we have to set a budget that's not going to exceed our revenues. So, you know, we have to put that in there. And yeah, I mean, if we're comfortable with that, if that's what we want to do, then, you know, we can put that in the budget. Or if we feel like now's not the time to do it, then now's not the time. You know, but this is when those decisions should be made.
So would we be saving up for him or her, that person, if say like we didn't hire him for 2 years, I don't know where the planning is coming
right.
down when to
and
hire.
So that, I think this is this whole conversation coming around to the beginning again, is that if the board wants to start looking at a executive director of the budget, then it's my responsibility to go back and find out where the money's going
to
come from.
Can we go back to the other one real quick before we move on to the direct? Like,
well, no, I'm just saying that this being a topic, and if we decide yes, yeah. So what I can do is I can put multiple budgets together. So I can say, hey, here's a budget with an executive director. Here's a couple options of how we can pay for this person. And then we can decide, and I guess it also comes down to special projects. Is a special project a target or is it a ceiling? So if it's a if it's a target, then if we're willing to burn a certain amount every year, then we should promote a little bit more. If we're in a, lean year where we want to hold back, because we should say at some point, like a scale, 30% of our, so we have a 30% administrative budget. We should be able to talk about that and to the voters to say, hey, 30% of the EDC goes to administration. 30% goes to special projects, and 30% goes to capital projects. The
special projects don't come out of our...
Right, but that's what I'm saying, though, is that when you look at what we're going to put in, so we may say every year we want to put 30% of our budget into our...
Are we
legally allowed
to? Okay, and I'm not a lawyer, so my understanding, though, is the answer for no, we cannot save up. It has to be spent within a budget year. Now, a difference would be, let's say you put in a executive director and you put in $80,000 as the number, and you knew you weren't going to hire that person until, you know, 6 months out, so you only put $40,000 in this year's budget. My understanding, and I think it's, Danny, correct me if I'm wrong, you and Paul have been through this longer than I have, administration expenses, which would be a director, would have to come out of existing year revenues. So we would need to have that number on here. So if we're 288 is our total number, and we've got whatever amount that we've already got budgeted for Clark Park or whatever, and then we back it out, then we can know a number. So I don't think you can save up for a couple years to go towards administrative. What we have been able to, what you can do, is save up towards the special projects, which is essentially what we do, is whatever isn't spent in 1 year passes over to the next year for the special projects budget. But things like administration, things like marketing, all the things essentially that are enumerated on here, those have to come out of the current year revenue.
So what if you don't have that money? As much expenses out of that, then what happens?
Well, then it just goes in your, it just stays in your checking account.
It just stays in
so
your
you're basically so saving it if you don't use it.
So could we put a line item in the administrative thing then for an executive director?
If the board voted to, yes.
And that way then we
I think we're going to talk about that.
So I wouldn't finish with the other part. I don't want to move on too far or I'll forget about it because I've got a lot. I think this is the bulk of the discussion is what we're talking about. But like, the BEDC sponsored project, like, is it safe to assume right now, like, I mean, can Leanne go back something out of there while the year's still going on? Like, we haven't, some of that was a special project. That's why that number is so high right now, like, while we're over budget on our P&L.
We are allowed deficit spending essentially. If it's coming out of the savings for those special projects, that's my understanding. That's the way we've always done it. So, yeah, sometimes it'll look like we've spent over our budget, but we haven't spent over our budget on the individual lines per se.
We have to always be on a cash basis until 2 years ago. So the only way we had money to pay a bill like the pavilion cash was that you had to save that money from the previous years. Otherwise, it wouldn't happen.
So to go to your point is it probably would be helpful to us to break up that special projects number.
It's not like a useful tool, I guess, is what in my mind.
Yes. Mainly because up until this year, we had a $25,000 cap on the business 15. Grant program. It was 25.
But then the other was this budget number.
It was 15.
But it was still that total and like... these special projects still went into there, even though they probably shouldn't have.
That's how it always, and that was the way it was approved.
Like
the
if
auditor,
we cut a check for the hospital, does it have to go on our P&L to where it affects the bottom dollar anyway? Or can there be, you know what I'm getting at? Does anybody know what I'm getting at?
I know what you're saying. Yeah. You don't want it coming out of this. You want it as a special project.
If we budget $118,797.97, we're still under that budgeted amount.
Yeah.
For our, out of our operating year.
Right.
By far.
Right.
There's 70.
So you're just wanting it to look...
Yeah,
like we haven't went over budget then.
Yeah, I guess, and to be yeah, to well, know what and, we got left.
And I guess all I will say, and not only am I not a lawyer, but I'm definitely not an accountant. I just know the auditors have signed off on this every year.
You know what you're doing. You're dipping into your retained earnings. If you want to call something
but,
different,
but it doesn't reserves. Say it on here that
yeah,
you're getting it out of somewhere.
Yeah, it's
else.
A question of what P&L says, but as long as the money's accounted for,
yeah.
It's
all, yeah, I'm not worried about that part of it. It's more being able to know, hey, here's what we have left for business and improvement and development opportunities per our budget and like.
Because ideally, you know, we shouldn't even have a retained earnings.
Yeah, that's a goal.
Yeah, we do. We have a big one.
Yeah.
Not technically this year, though. I mean, because we're already over
budget.
We're
supposed to be spending the money that we've been
pulling inherited
for sales tax.
Yeah, but basically we've squirreled it away over the years. It's been a savings account to pay
for
projects.
Yeah, so you have a reserve for this or that.
Yeah.
And new product, or, you know, the Hopkin kind of popped up there pretty quickly. You know, so we had a reserve for that, but it's going to come out of your retained earnings.
Yeah.
So, you want to call something different?
You did ask Lee about that. You know.
We just need to figure out how to... It's like if we cut all, if we did, let's say the bills all came in at the same time for the hospital, the turnaround, the quiet zone.
Quiet zone. Yeah,
where would we plug that in?
$300,000. It would look like we've overspent our budget, but in that case.
And I'm thinking he's wanting to put it on there to make it not look like we spent a lot of
money. Right, I understand. And it's,
but you got to put it somewhere.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not in the budget. It's not really in the budget. It's just.
Because I mean, like the Clark Park debt.
We'll move that retained earnings into a special projects account.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could do that.
That's all you need to do.
Yeah, that's not
bad. To make it look better.
Yeah, just make a journal entry.
Because you can't go, then you won't go into a negative budget.
Yeah.
Well, that's so, what she does. Something similar with the Clark Park payment. Like we budget for it.
Yeah.
But then she backs it back out.
There's well, gotta because get that's the only thing we've got on an accrual basis. You know, the like the hospital, we paid cash, and we didn't know we were going to be paying cash now. So she had no way of budgeting that on as a amortized.
Yeah, there probably is a way to put a special
project. Yeah, that is because I'm jogging along with y'all here, but I just want some clarification from the way I see the budgets that I run. So in my company, I run projects, and those projects have income and they have expenses, and they accrue across the years. So a project may be 2 or 3 years long, but I track the expenses within that budget that fits within the overall balance sheet. Those, in an accrual process, you can hold that because, you know, it's, you know, we keep our earnings low so that we, at the end of the year and all that good stuff. So, but we can, in the accrual process, maintain expenses across years instead of having to pay it up front. So it's like, and that's why I'm getting a little confused because I'm listening, but I don't have the same problem when I'm budgeting projects as it seems like we're talking about here. And it just seems easier from the corporate taxes I work with just to maintain that expense across the years, like we would in a Clark Park or, not Clark Park, sorry, the Turn to Ryan or the
whatever. Because you know you marry your revenues with your expenses.
Right.
And
so I carry those
up in all the board. We haven't had that luxury.
Yeah.
Except when we could have done that on the Pavilion program and the Bell Street project, but we were on a cash basis.
Yeah.
And we had retained earnings there, and that's just the way we did it.
Right. Well,
and those are listed.
Why can't we start looking at a P&L and a balance sheet every month?
We do.
Which we do. Yeah.
But that's the thing. It's reflected twice, I guess. You know, I mean, it comes out of our cash on the balance sheet, and it also hampers us for expense.
Okay. Yeah, but nobody, it's not a problem because they're not paying taxes on it or anything like that.
So, okay, then how do we know how much of this $139,000, how do we know how much of that is special projects? I mean,
that's where that contingent.
Yeah,
that's where the contingent liability is.
Yeah, we used to not even have that.
Yeah, that's a fairly recent
thing. It still doesn't. Well, it's still not.
I think it's worth. Tool. I think it's something like, worth discussing with Leanne.
We're trying
this
to make
month
a good tool. I
yeah,
thought.
And I think I think where you're going is you want to have a line like a, it's like an undesignated, you know, number. Yeah. It's like it's a special project number. Yeah. You could just call it that, and it could go as its own line. I'm sure there's a way to.
She always usually comes a meeting or two before next month.
Yeah, she's gonna come.
Okay.
But I just think it's however we want to. You know, because we're not paying taxes at the end of the year, we don't have to worry about you know, profits and losses and all that kind of stuff.
It's a future, it's a funding for future money.
But essentially what we are doing is we're kind of back of the envelope. We look at contingent liabilities and we look and see what our total current assets are and we go, okay, what, you know, so, well, the, you know, subtract one from the other and how much do we have
to pay for this project? That's where we'll get in trouble.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, we can't, yeah. I mean, we got to know what our cash flow is.
Yeah.
What, how we're operating, and I'm excited for it, but nervous when Clark Park gets paid off.
On,
we're gonna have a whole lot more money, or it's gonna appear that way.
On our the business grant projects, you probably got this somewhere on how much we've actually spent this year, and just on the business grants. Is that in the profit and loss?
$14,757 is what we've paid, and then we've approved.
Up to tonight.
Another 15. Well,
including tonight, not tonight. So that's another 10.
Add another 10. And then we've approved, but, I mean, sorry, I have it backwards. We've approved, but not yet paid $14,757. We've approved and paid
$25,734.
So we could be up in our grant.
So we're around $40,000 in what we've given out at this point in the year.
No, 25.
Well, we have paid, given out, but not paid for all.
Oh, okay. So 25 is that's my question.
That's all we've done through our grant program.
Okay. So something that we might want to consider is maybe we do put, you know, a slightly lower number than, you know, because we didn't know what we were going to be given out on the grant program. So if we do want to have a line item for, you know, the projects that so it doesn't come out of PLL or whatever. But if we want to back out something or put a cap.
That's what we moved away from.
It was 15.
And it limited us.
Some of QuickBooks girls thinking, why can't you just put them in as bills?
Well, that's what I was kind of.
And they would come up as on your accrual P&L as bills instead of doing all this outstanding, whatever y'all call it, contingent liabilities.
We have to, I thought. Well, not be funded if they don't meet their
obligation. I know, but if they're bills and they show up as an accrual, they would show up on your P&L under an accrual P&L statement. You would call it something else besides bills. You can call it what contingent liability. But it would actually show up on
your
P&L.
You mean ones we approved but not yet paid? You mean
yeah.
There was something, that's what we wanted to do originally.
Uh-huh.
And I think Leanne can maybe answer your question because it's something when we went to the auditors.
A bill has to be paid.
You couldn't do it that way.
This may not be paid if they don't like ACTS. They didn't meet up for their.
They said, well, you could do it off schedule, like what we got.
Well, I mean, you can. It takes 2 seconds to change something when the auditors come in. I mean, we need these numbers to work for us, and we need them to work for an auditor once a year or once every how often they get audited.
Well, you could also maintain the books in compliance with the auditors, and then we make our own tools based on numbers.
I also think there are and again we're way over where my comfort level is, but I think there are laws. The law states what we can do in terms of the payment with Texas state law.
Uh-huh. Then there's the estimating the time of when it'll be completed too.
That what we need to have approved by council each year is our operating budget, you know, and that we've got to include in their numbers like what we want to budget for the business grants.
We're not giving you this money because y'all blew through it already, and it's only June.
Yeah, but
they don't do that.
Yeah, that's never been the issue. It's been, you know, we can only do like marketing. You can only do 10% of your total overall budget. You know, administration. You have to set your administration costs. So for like an executive director or something like that, we would have to budget that out of the, you know, the $288,000 number. You know, I don't know.
We'll work on it.
The other stuff, I can see where there could be better guidance, but generally speaking, it's...
And like this product here, I mean, this, we generate this, this can come up with.
Yeah, exactly. So that is,
we may just need to get a couple...
That is strictly a guidance issue for us.
Okay. So one of the first questions...
It would be nice to see those numbers in...
And I'm going to have a fine time writing this up for the minutes.
Sorry.
I want to look at your cheat sheet.
One question, though, an important question, is that we have in here sales tax allocation of $280,994, and we were talking about zero growth. That's more than was budgeted last year, if I'm not correct. It was $268,000 last year, and this one, the projection is $284,000. So if we were going to show zero growth, would we go back to the 268 as our number?
Well, what's actual? What's the actual projected?
The actual.
We're already at
June. A year to.
We're at June.
Yeah.
July. We're at 217 right now.
Yeah.
We have three more months. We won't know the
actual until.
Yeah.
But Leon usually does a projected actual.
Based on the last.
That's what I guess. That's what the 284,994 is.
Yeah, and she like. Well, according to the P&L, our budget's 272.
That's that includes the interest.
Okay. That's, yeah, including the interest. Yeah.
But it also, she says here that this 284 is based on the previous 12 months receipts. Right.
Well, anticipated revenue, I mean, I think that's kind of where the number we've always gone is. What
okay.
We've done is basically we looked at what we think we're going to make this year, actual, and then we made that the budget number for going forward.
So we're comfortable, though, with the total anticipated revenue to be $288,900.
I'm personally comfortable with it. You know, it seems like a reasonable, and it's based on actual. So, and that's when we go to council, we've got to be able to defend where we get that number from. And if we say that's our projected actual, that's usually not a problem. And again, if numbers start falling during the course of the year, we can always adjust, you know.
And are there any other inputs for the actual administrative line items in here? Or
yeah, we'll go back now. Let's go back to the...
That's the question on executive director.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I think we need to put something in there, whether it be, you know, this vision process will play out and hopefully point us in the right direction. But, you know, it seems like we've come back a couple of times and it's hard to really decide is a true administrative assistant type person required a true full-time director, part-time director, somewhere in between. But plugging some money in, independent contractor consultant, plugging some money in under a generalized description would kind of help as a catch-all. You know, I don't think we'll be doing anything by October. I really wouldn't recommend it till we're further along or through. But, you know, plugging something in is responsible. You know, it's like Diane, a consultant. We may decide to do something else somewhere, and I don't know what description we use for that. I guess professional fees.
Yeah, the only thing is it's to you just got to be prepared to defend that line to council. So that's it. You know, it's like, okay, what are your plans with this? And there's two ways to do it. One is to say, yeah, we think we're really going to need something, and we want to put a number in, whatever that number is. Or we want to say, we want to come back to you after we do the strategic vision and plug a number in. Or, you know, let's plug in an X amount for administrative help.
Well, I can volunteer to help us.
Right, you know.
Well, I think that's a good thing, Gary can attest to this, as part of our, where we are right now with the strategic committee is that it's becoming very clear that there's a lot of work to be done. And I think it's becoming more and more clear to the mayor and Doug that there's a significant amount that can be put to this.
So full-time.
I can't attest to that at this time, but it's a narrative. We're growing on that narrative. We're at the beginning. I would say within the next, but right now, and I'll give an update on this later, but we're at the beginning of the detail work. So even just getting to the general, there's a growing understanding that, yeah, there's a lot of work to do.
And you just talked about doing some, three different budgets, let's say. And let's say a full-time person is $80,000. You can put that in there and present next month.
I can.
Now, if you do that, and I just throw this out, so that reduces the special projects.
Because we can blow through that.
Well, you can and you can't.
That's the point.
can't.
You can't. So the one thing that would be definitely affected would be the business grant program, because it's an approved program each year. So that would leave you 57. If you did, let's say you did 80.
Plenty of room.
That leaves you 57 for that program, you know, within that. And then you're not saving for any other special projects down the road.
No, no.
So that's where the, you know.
Yeah, I think looking, trying some different scenarios in there, 20, 40, and 80, and like the three different options, something like that.
I mean, I think we'd be looking at 40, 60, or 80.
Well, not necessarily a full-time director option. That'd be option one. This would be another option. You know,
I think that if you looked at it, you'd look at two different varieties. You'd look at the hardcore full-time 80, part-time full-core 60, part-time medium grade 40. So.
You think it would be a full year?
For a year.
But do you think in 2020 we would have somebody for a full budget year?
We should have the strategic plan in place by then.
Well, no budget year starts in October.
Oh, in October. So no, I would say that once we, my view on this is that once we have the strategic plan in place by the end of the year and we get into our first quarter of actual execution planning, then we're going to need somebody there. So that first quarter is going to be first quarter, calendar quarter, 2020. So it'll be second fiscal year quarter. So 75% of the year, three quarters of the year.
Sorry.
So who's going to see the 40-60-80 budget? It just us?
Yeah, I mean, we have to approve a budget next month, so.
Okay, because I didn't want to send out a message, because I'm on a full-time guy. So I wouldn't want to send out a message to others that we were thinking about part-time and then starting on a part-time.
It would just be a worksheet kind of thing for us, you know. I mean, right now, we will have to decide on what our that's what a budget is. What's your priorities? So we would have to set that. We would have to vote on that next month and then present it to council. Yeah.
And we may look at a number of 80,000 and not be able to support it at all. They not work out on the numbers. So that's what I'm saying is, or we may look at $80,000 and go, wow, that leaves us very little money for anything else. So, and again, I don't want to make any projections now. Throw the numbers on the screen and we'll go, oh yeah, that's bigger than that.
Basically, all it's going to your fudge factor is that 137 number right there. So if you take 40, 60, 80, 20, whatever, it's going to come out of that number, because everything else is pretty well accounted for. And the only difference is when Clark Park gets paid off. And then suddenly when Clark Park gets paid off, and this is also something to consider, we're what, 3 years, 4 years from Clark Park paying off, whatever?
I was thinking three to four.
Whatever that number is, when the Clark Park debt goes away, then that's $70,000, $69,000 a year that frees up. So that is, it's something we're considering.
$3.4 and we're paying $65 a year. That's 4 years.
4 years. So, yeah, so you got 4 more years of that $69 coming. So all it does is we decide what the priorities are. If we want an executive director now, just know that we're not going to have as much extra, and that extra will also reduce that less extra will also reduce what we can put aside for special projects, you know, until Clark Park, and then suddenly when Clark Park's done, $70,000 a year frees up, and things get a lot easier.
Defining like what the special project guidelines to.
Yeah, you know,
it's more just trying to be responsible, thinking like, okay, let's say we've hired somebody full time and they're super expensive and we got a little bit of money in this fudge number here, and 2 months in we've already hit it. Well, the next sign grant that comes in, we don't have any money. I'm going to say, well, that's just a special project. So we'll, you know what I mean? Like, we got to.
Well, and you as a board, we have to decide how much reserve are we comfortable getting down to. So that's that special project thing that you're talking about. I mean, are we okay with almost no reserve? Are we okay with, do we want to sit on 200,000 or 300,000 in case something happens and not really plan on doing any more projects for the next 4 years until Clark Park frees up? You know, that's something to consider.
Like the definition of like what qualifies you to get access to that fund?
Is it a dollar amount? Is it?
It's an over $10,000. Generally, we've looked at it almost as a capital program, except for, you know, the hospital being a kind of a variation on that.
So like on sign grants and things like that, do we ever look at the business and say this is a going business that's doing well?
Yeah.
Do we have to give them a sign grant?
We have the discretion to give or not give on each one. That's a board decision. But, you know, then we have not set those kind of criteria before. We haven't said, okay, you've got to be struggling or you need to be under this.
Well, if we're looking at a small amount of money now because we want this executive director, then maybe we need to start picking and choosing.
Which would go towards, right now, our budget for this program is $137,000. So if we wanted to set a defined number, let's say, okay, we don't want to spend more than $40,000. Now, when we did this just recently, you know, we have got the mega grant and all that kind of stuff, and we looked at how much we would need. Again, it's just priorities. What are our priorities here? If we want to reduce the size of the business grant program and say, okay, we're only comfortable giving $60,000 with, you know, well, let's cap it at 60, and then, yeah, you may have to start picking and choosing some projects. So it's just all, it's what's important, you know, what do we want to do? That's all a budget is here's our priorities, and legally we have requirements that we have to have for it.
Where would we put the lights? Just under business development?
I would almost argue that if we wanted to do the lights, it should have its own line, you know, and, you know.
If it's going to be a yearly thing.
If it's going to be a yearly thing, yeah. And we were going to cap it.
Wouldn't that be under maintenance?
Yeah, you could put it under a maintenance budget. Yeah, sure.
You could.
Yeah. You could just include it as part of maintenance.
Yeah. Well, I did get a...
I know. Or you could put a little sub thing underneath it, couldn't you?
Maybe it's a maintenance item. Maintenance.
Yeah.
It's ongoing.
And then, the minor one for me is...
It's a general question here. Why is maintenance and utilities under grants?
Yeah, that's a good question. I was looking under administration, wondering why that was there.
I was just about, like, order, match the budget.
Yeah, that actually should be up.
Because that had something to do with...
Those were all granted. They were all granted. But they weren't. They were technically special projects and weren't grants. I mean, business.
Yeah, it would make sense to move it up under administration.
And also that... A little bit. Order it. Save us a budget.
Real quick, I just looked at what Risa was doing. This is kind of the reports that I want to start giving. I want to be able to give you guys visuals on where we are on the trajectory over a 12-month period. Okay. So that, I mean, y'all can do the math. You can often do it in your head or on your phones. But nothing beats being able to see where we're at.
See what the trends are. Yeah. And that's generally all. When I look at these numbers, all I'm looking at is the trends. That's all I'm interested in. Yeah. You know, are we up, are we down? Yeah.
And then honestly, it doesn't matter what that number is. It's either going up or it's going down. Expenses going down is a good thing. Profits going up is a good thing. So,
I mean, this is just where she has this in her...
You can move it up.
In her account list. I mean, that's just a...
A lot of this is simple fixes.
Yeah.
Y'all buzzing to death? Anybody else got anything?
I'm going to make a little brain or...
If anybody does have any inputs before next one, please send those to me and I'll...
Yeah, we don't have a choice. Next month we have to approve it. So he's serious.
Worst case, we're gonna have a special.
Well, actually, no. Technically, we could do it in September.
I thought it.
Well, under our bylaws, we had to take it up. Yeah, take it up. I think actually, by our bylaws, we're supposed to do it next month.
Regular schedule it, but if we kept a regular schedule.
Trust me, in the past, if we were really jammed, we did it in September.
I think
It's got to be approved by October 1.
No, I think it's 45 days.
Under our bylaws, I think we said that we have to have a budget 45 days.
Yes.
Advance. But I think
council
has to approve. Right. Yeah. I mean, technically we could take
it. We have to approve.
We would be much better off doing it next month.
Yeah. We have, I mean, almost 15.
Yes.
But I will get with you before that next month, because you seem to have a pretty good idea.
Oh, do not. Me monkey see monkey do. I follow what we've done before.
At least 90 days prior to the commencement of each fiscal year, the corporation, the board of directors shall adopt a proposed budget of expected revenues and proposed expenditures.
I thought we amended that to 45.
Wait,
I think that's old copy. I think we amended that to 45 because that was my concern. It was 90 was too far out.
Let me see here. Well, we've never done 90 before.
No, when we did the bylaws, I'm 99% sure that we changed that to
final
40. There you go.
Sorry. Quickly, come on.
It is identification.
Is that for insurance, general, corporate, 45. You're correct. Good job.
See, I'm not just making stuff up.
No, wow, I'm impressed.
Holding my breath. I was like, I looked at this like 3 weeks ago, specifically for that. That's where it said 45.
Yeah, so we need to do it next one.
Yeah, second.
Okay.
May I suggest that if anybody has suggestions that you would like to see this, since we've had a free-flowing discussion here and I probably don't have a really good accurate description of everything, is send a note to Rick if you'd like to see something on it, and then Rick, next month you can present, you know.
So next month I plan to have a much larger presentation. What I would want to stay away from is, what is the term, collaboration over email? So if we want
quorum,
would be email. So, if anybody does have an input to me, or if we want to have a small committee meet beforehand to look at it prior to next month so that I don't make any novice mistakes.
As far as a committee.
It would be easier to have a committee than just have the inadvertent walking quorum if you do it wrong.
Yeah. I mean, a committee, though, you got three.
Three.
Yeah. You can't have three and then...
No, but what I'm saying is that if we would like, what I would not want to have happen is that I present a budget next month that fails the smell test right off the bat. I'd rather have a couple board members look at it beforehand to make sure I don't make any novice mistakes. So when we present it, it has a better chance of it being approved.
I think it's just going to come down to the administration call. I mean, that's my thought anyway, is where people are out there and the amount that folks are comfortable with. Three options should probably get us there. Somebody may say none.
I mean, I'll certainly get with Leanne beforehand, but I just want to make sure that I don't present an albatross on the first day and, you know, I'm not meeting and go, oh, well, we can't approve any of this work.
If I would suggest, and Garrett, this is really your suggestion, but I would say the three of you would all be good. I mean, I'm not an accountant, so I will just tell you historically what we've done. Paul can tell you historically what we've done. Paul's got a better handle on the budget stuff, and Garrett, you guys are all business people and know this stuff. I'm a TV guy.
You know, do y'all have to meet, or do y'all three can email?
Yeah, y'all three can email.
Don't send it to us.
Okay. Yeah, you just don't forward it to the rest of the board.
The point, Paul. I will say I will not be here next month for the meeting.
Oh,
that's okay.
Well, maybe that's vote.
That's fine.
But maybe that'll work out best because then
you'll have your input then. Yeah.
So that's three. We'll work.
Hopefully.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to more work days.
Okay. Consideration and action as needed on backdoor square plan. Yeah, we make any progress.
We don't have anything, but just a little report. I'm kind of letting this play out. Let pictures and things do its own work. If y'all know, this was the building. As some Facebook people tell me that I don't go in there anymore, but they say it's a historical building. Anyway, it's gone.
Okay.
It's history.
It is.
Well, there's old and there's historical.
Yeah. It is history.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
So anyway, this is the brick that they're putting on. It's a little thin little brick, same stuff on the front, and then they come back and they whitewash it. And then she's going to, in here is going to be some kind of fence to hide all this. And then she's having a set of metal stairs made for back here. And then there's bushes or something covering this. So this is going to be a tremendous asset to the square.
And more, you know, roughly how many spots they're going to have to have back there?
Well, I talked with Bill, and the city, with all of their... You can't park here. We're down to 12 spots.
Oh, 12 spots.
But, you know, I walked back there today, and they need to leave two gates open because they got to get the water thing. But there's two gates over here, and there's two. So, I don't know. Maybe things will change when they, because it was was originally 22 was the plan that Bill submitted. So anyway, the that didn't happen. All right, and then there's going to be these lights. These are going to be lights right here, and these are going to be trees. And the lights are laying on the ground. Pretty cool looking. Lights.
Cool.
Lights. Just a little bit.
Kind of something like there's on a square.
Yeah, I mean, really nice poles. I think it'll be pretty to look at. And let's see, that's it. But anyway, so we're going over here to the other side, which I can't find right now. But anyway, I'm just going to kind of let this speak to itself, and I'm going to show everybody this is what how pretty our back doors could be. And then I've got something. And because it sure, when something gets prettier, it sure makes the ugly look uglier in my eyes. And so that's what I'm just going to start working on is doing
sometimes
that.
Sometimes it inspires people to.
Yeah. And I realize this is big dollars, and everybody can't do big dollars. But that's something that the EDC could help with is, you know, if we could, you know, take the over there and put it. No, not that. I'm sorry.
From that view, I should go back to that angle. Uh-huh. So one thing, and I know a couple of us have talked about in the past, and along the idea of fixing up back doors, just to the right of where that picture is taken is that big lot next to the Historic Society. And I know we have always there's been an idea kicked around that particularly if that end of the square starts to open up, of potentially talking to the Historical Society and maybe buying that lot or working with them to put in a parking lot back there. Because one of the things that we've learned from the A&M study all those years back is we just need parking. And that...
Where do they park?
On the street.
I mean, they've got...
There's a little bit of parking right there.
Right behind, like four car.
Well, right in my long-range plan, Danny and I have talked about this, and the Historical Society is very financially strapped.
Right.
And they had their building appraised to see what it was worth. I had a client that was looking at, that was interested in it. But they haven't said they're going to sell or anything like that. But the building needs a lot of work, and they have no money for it. And the client that I talked to, and also the Historical Society, they were like, that would make such, of course, whoever buys that building, if they use it for commercial purposes, would love to have the EDC come in there and make a parking lot. But I think it could be almost like with some picnic tables back there and a little bit of green space and parking. And then Cody Bosick has bought the
I saw the notice up there for the liquor.
The last from the past building. So that side of the square might be coming to life. Jackie Saversula is shutting down. I don't know what's going to happen with that building. I was going to try to get by. I just heard that yesterday, and I didn't get by to get all the information on that. So, you know, maybe that side of the square would come back to life.
Well, it would, particularly if a restaurant goes in there. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got that great backyard, and then it would...
Holland House.
It would open right straight back into a parking area.
Yeah. Because that's what we got going on here. Even as ugly as it is over here, you know, those few little parking spaces that we helped add, it just opens up that whole area. People sit out here, they talk, I think people pay more attention to the jail than before. And anyway, I'm just kind of letting it just
That's
path.
Really the last side that needs it. I mean, they've got,
We've got that side and this side. Yeah. It's not bad over there on the Wells Fargo side.
No, it looks nice. I mean,
but while we're here, and this is off the record, please, Bruce, I kind of had a little come to Jesus meeting with Carrie Gakey, and she's the listing agent for the
Trump
Cafe, thank you, and Ed Caravello is the owner. And I said, here's Miss Boomy Patel's number, here's everything I know about her, here's her email, here's what I can get as far as stuff, I mean, trash compactors. And I was like, Ed needs to buy this land, and if he needs to go negotiate it, because Miss Patel, when I do talk to her, we've never met in person, she's like, just bring me an offer. Well, I can't, as an EDC member, bring her an offer.
Someone who's not involved in the project,
So I was like, this is something an individual needs to be. Now, if you need help, if we can finance that that piece of concrete or that buy or whatever for you will help. But this, so I told him, I said, I need to back this up and let this business owner do this. I mean, I couldn't go any farther. I just kept hitting.
I was sitting in the bank line this morning and I looked over and saw her name on the sign. I thought, why isn't she doing that?
Yeah.
So that actually, yes.
So anyway. I'm not just doing it for EDC and the betterment of Belleville, right. but I have my limits. So.
Yeah,
so
someone who actually might make money on the project should have
an investment.
Yeah. Will they wear it? Did she even know that? Did she even know that was an issue?
What?
Like the action?
Oh, yeah. I think she's been in on all the emails. She's been perfectly happy. Not putting any bad on her. Let me just work my butt off.
I bet.
And watch me, which is, I'm the dummy, and that's
it. And I'll take the 6%.
Yeah.
It's 3%.
So that's, but anyway, my place is too full, and I put it in the hands where it should be.
But I would say that Reese's effort with that is, and I've said this many times, I think the cafe is an integral part of the square, and so all the effort, I applaud you, Reese's, for the full time.
And the Italian restaurant has came back to town, so that's what perked her up. Joe's Italian Grill, they're back. And they called me, and he said, well, what have you done?
What'd you find out?
And I was like, call Carrie. And I said, I haven't done anything.
Yeah.
How come not? I got to make a living.
Yeah.
So.
You work on it.
Yeah.
So I think from, and this is something that we need to bring up with this, when we look at the strategies, who is going to do what you're doing? We need someone to be doing
EDC director.
Well, and that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And there's multiple levels here because there's a chamber involvement. And there's an EDC involvement.
Yeah.
And so how that tag teams and how that works out, but we need to keep doing what you're doing, but it can't be you.
Exactly. Yeah. I love the way that sounds.
And a chamber is promotion. You know, a chamber should be doing promotion. You hire a person to...
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
But again, it goes into the justification
right.
for a high power. I mean, if we were going to pay Reese to do this, I don't think we can afford her out. But we need someone with energy and drive and gumption who's going to be able to get it done.
But to sum up the back doors pan, this over here I think is something to help. I think this here behind on the wine bar side is going to have to probably be EDC project because none of those business owners benefit. The ones that where the deck would benefit from a deck being there. It's just going to, or whatever we would put there. This is just for the betterment of Belleville and for it looking nicer coming, people pulling into our nicest tourist attraction. Over here, that's a different story. It would benefit, especially if Cody's restaurant. So anyway, I'm just kind of letting it fall out and see what happens. And the pad sites for the Republic trash compactors. I think that's something that we could do too. So
great.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll see. I hate those words, but that's what it is for today.
Tis what tis.
Committees, nothing on Main Street. I know. Pat, you got anything?
Yes, I have an update for us on the quiet zone. I emailed Sean on progress. So the city, working with Robert, has filed the notice of intent to file. We are now in the, so we filed the formal, we're going to do this. We are now in the 30-day comment period where the railroad, TxDOT, all the stakeholders may make comment on it, and then we'll see what happens at that. So, the ball is rolling down the tracks. The tracks. See what it did there?
Is there any like public notice?
There will be a public later on. This is the
they get their
stakeholders.
Shot partners,
yeah, this is the no, you can't do it that way because of this.
Yeah.
And then it goes to the formal filing, and then there's like a 60-day public comment period.
Okay, and then on Granville and 1456, they did traffic studies. So I was talking to somebody with the railroad, and they said that if the traffic does what they anticipate it'll do, that'll go into next year's budget.
Whoa.
Of those being upgraded.
Wow, that'd be great.
So, but what I can't remember what she said their budget was. It's a weird year, isn't it? I don't know. It wouldn't come. You wouldn't even be in the budget till like fall.
Yeah,
of
it's when I mean they've been doing a lot of work on the tracks anyway. But it's whenever they upgrade that, then we could go back and look and see what if the cost.
So maybe that'll be the next couple of years. So
yeah, that'd be great.
Okay. community relations. We lumped the vision under there. Do we want to go into much of the room other than it's going well? Do you think it's appropriate by the survey now?
I think there was a buffer there for me. I was just going to give a brief update. I think we're going to be presenting something a little bit more substantive to the city council at their next meeting. But basically what we've done is we've gone through and identified, we did an entire SWAT umbrella. We've spent 8 hours, 6 hours.
Eight.
So it's 8 hours? Four. No, wait, 7 hours. We've spent 7 hours on the project already. We've gone through a complete SWOT analysis of Belleville, very significant top view overview of everything that we think is an area within Belleville. We've taken those areas, grouped them by category, and our very first detailed discussion on what we're calling pillars is coming up in the next in this month. So we're almost to the point where we're getting into details, but we're still at the, I would say we're probably at the 10,000 foot view right now, down from 20. It's been, like I said, it's been a very interesting ride. Diane's helped quite a bit, helping us get our thoughts down. But everybody's been really engaged. All five members of the committee have been very engaged. The mayor has been incredibly insightful. So has Doug from the city council and the perspective of things. There's a great deal of progressive insight into what we're looking at. So
a lot of looking forward. I don't know if cookies is the right word. We're all kind of seeing the same things, and they're not always pleasant. You know, I mean,
right. And we're throwing it out there.
Yeah.
If we think it's an issue, we're throwing it out there. There has been no disagreement on the urgency or the priority of this endeavor and its importance to the city. So we're all, that was a big concern in the beginning, but we're all on the same page with this, and we're just moving pretty, it's moving well.
So what were the areas?
Is that
right? Coming.
Oh, certainly.
Yeah. This is, I think it's pretty much decided it's going to go out, so it's fine to start at least promoting. Do more later, but we're going to do, and I know one, some have been done in the past, but we're fine-tuning a survey that will go out to the folks on Belleville Utilities that gets in the city limits that are on the, you know what I'm saying? Everybody that gets a utility bill from the city of Belleville will get a paper copy of a survey, and there'll be also a link to take it online. It's like fine-tuning the questions still, but it's trying to get, you know, what are the things that are important to you, and here is about 10 to 12. There's some spots which I think is important to where it's not just able to, you're not just able to select a button, you're going to actually have to put some feedback into it, like, you know, biggest concerns moving forward, what are your favorite parts of different things.
What do you think we should do?
We're still tweaking it, but that will go out in August.
Right, Rick. What's that? I'm sorry.
That will go out in August. I think we're going to allow like 30 days to take it or somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. So when you get it, take it, tell your friends to take it, because we are going to compile it and use it. So. That's it.
What are you looking for, Paul?
We're looking to see if Diane is corporate.
She's
corporate.
She's an LLC, I thought.
I believe she's an LLC, but let me find that.
Why? Oh, this right here.
There it is.
Hotel committee. Oh wait, we did have strategic plan committee. I'm sorry. That's a new item, huh?
No.
Was it always listed?
Yeah.
I thought we used to lump it. That's fine.
No. Last couple months.
EDC administration committee.
That's
other committees.
I have a little hotel.
Yeah.
Kind of bed and breakfast. Donna Jacob was asking me for the impact of what this morning we met and what you know, tourists bring to town. So I think there's numbers there, so I've got to look them up. But I want y'all asking me about how this Airbnb thing works. Okay, this is what a person goes on and they on Airbnb and they type up in Belleville. Okay, and this is what they're running. This is the Holland House that we did a sign for. It's $115 a night. Tonight it might go up. It depends on, you know, if Airbnb will let you, will regulate the rates. Like if everything's out, they'll bump up your price to try to get you more. This is the Botters, $125. That's mine. But I'm not in the city. But that's the ones that are around here. That's what they look like. Okay, and then it's got the VRBO. There's a Holland House again. She's 112 on there. Okay. And I'm trying to see if there's any other. Tells you how far it is from Belleville. So that's the only.
There's Mockingbird.
Yeah, there's. So that's
$3.99 a night.
Yeah.
Well, you got 15 people. It's not that bad.
Yeah. Not a bad deal.
These may be the ones that have like available.
That's per person.
No. Okay.
6:15.
So that's what they see. That's what they'll, you know, and then tells you all what it is. That's 3 square feet. They fix that.
It's a dollhouse.
It's tight.
Anyway,
tight.
And everybody almost requires a 2-night stay minimum because it's just not worth it to go in and clean after, you know, one night. That's I require two.
After $400.
Yeah. Okay, there she says 4,000 square foot house. So, anyway, she tells you what.
This?
Yeah.
You know, well, when you get
home.
I had called Betty today and asked her, hey, you know, how much do we get on hot tax, or does the city get on hot tax? And I wasn't thinking it was going to get it today already, but I just ran copies so y'all can kind of look at it. You know, that's the city ordinance on it to start with, and the last pages. How much they've collected, and you know, you can see how many, I think first, second, third, well, maybe the last year, I guess. Mm-hmm. And you know, obviously it doesn't include the new one because they haven't collected, but.
Well, what's impressive to me looking at this is, like Holland House is what, a year old? Mm-hmm. And they're collecting $300 a quarter, which, you know, Budget Inn is doing that. Because, you know, for forever it was a budget, a little bit we got off Budget Inn, and then like one other, what is it, Somewhere in Time that's down on Tesh?
Yeah.
So Holland House.
This is what they're paying a quarter.
Well, this is probably
what they're paying the hotel tax.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Holland House is paid
for
its sign.
Holland House is paid for its sign. Yeah. That's definitely the news off of this. Is Holland House was a good investment.
Yeah.
You know, that's awesome, actually. That's very encouraging. You look at that and say, so they're, you know, it's $1,200 a month
or a year. To me, the gold star here on this is. These are not people that are living in Belleville. This is not you and I paying the sales tax.
This is hotel tax.
Huh?
This is hotel tax.
Yeah, but I know, but they're coming in and they're paying the sales tax at Galileo's or Go Magoda or whatever. So this is how to help it easy,
you know what?
It easier to live here.
This is a workaround for not having a hotel.
Yeah. Right? I mean, we're not going to get a hotel right now.
We need to see, like, this is quarterly.
No, it's yearly. Because, up here, Holland House first quarter, Holland House second quarter.
Looks like, this is the last 12 months.
Yeah,
I think so.
So, I mean, this is really encouraging because I know with the chamber, it was like $2,500, $2,200. And if we're at $3,800, you know, we're almost doubling the hotel tax.
So we've been scrambling around for hotels.
Yeah.
That's what I've been preaching. We're not going to get a hotel, so that's what Fredericksburg got.
Because we can look at this from a perspective of occupancy ability. So we can look at this and say, we have, you know, X number of bed and breakfasts, which we cannot, our occupancy in Belleville is X, and we can start looking at that and see how we can increase that. So maybe that's the number, just if we had a hotel.
And I will just throw this out as a separate thing, that in really popular cities, the big fight has been too many of these have come in, and it's forcing up rents. It's, you know, in a place like New Orleans, which is a tourist town, you know, they've got whole neighborhoods now that are suddenly ghost towns because it's all Airbnbs, and the citizens are screaming because they can't get an affordable house. So I don't think we're going to have that problem.
No, I mean,
but it is something to consider.
An Airbnb in Belleville is a labor of love.
Yeah.
You just do the math for what a house in Belleville costs you. Right. I mean, the last 2 years, you know, the prices have gone through the roof for real estate here, and basically the only reason that I do an Airbnb is because I don't have to pull up a full time renter, and I can still use the house for my own guests. Mm-hmm. And with the exception of the Mockingbird place of the Tease, these people, it's just more of a hobby. I mean, Donna's serious. Donna's
doing really well.
Holland House, yeah. But I can't see that happening in Belleville because
the demand fee hurts them. They get charged a demand fee.
I hate that demand fee. And it really is a matter of...
Well, they will too now.
Who?
They'll have a demand fee. Yeah.
It'll be big time.
Yeah.
One thing I was going to...
$399 a month.
Budget in.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, Holland House, 1 month, it was like two nights bed worth. Two rental nights worth, basically, is about what it equated to. That's tough.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Budget in is a third of this.
Well, and they used to be like, you know, 90% of it. So it's very encouraging that they're not the full amount now.
But anyway, I know I've gotten blowback from funding the Tysis project, and that, you know, well, they can go and turn into a house in 2 years. Okay, well, you can also take a building on the square, mm-hmm, that we paid to renovate, and you can go live in the Trump Cafe if you
go
want to.
Go office out of it if you're...
Yeah, you don't have to.
That's fine.
All we got is our clawbacks, and that's it.
You had an abandoned, you had an empty house there that's being used.
Yes.
It's on the tax rolls. And
so I wish Donna was here, sorry, but my thing is, we can't control everything. Yeah. I mean, I would love to have this where we have no blowback from anybody, but I can't. I make the best decision that I can at the time.
You
and
bet.
Right now, this is proven.
It's working.
That it's bringing sales. And then that doesn't say how many sales tax dollars, but I'll have that the next meeting. How many tourism dollars are getting dropped in Belleville?
But that's big time with these. Do we think, I mean, we've talked about it, I think, in the past, and maybe when we revise the guidelines, you know, with the number of B&B applications, the ones that we've done, already approved, or receiving still, do you think we ought to try to develop a B&B specific program? I mean, $10,000 is phenomenal to be able to do it, but we can't do that for all of them.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Don't worry about it until it gets here. Be mine.
We got one today, you know.
Another one coming. Yeah.
She can't bring the people to town. That's why I was okay with $10,000 on Tice.
Oh, I do.
Because they can bring 15 people into town, and 15 people versus a little two bedroom. You're talking a lot of.
It's right by the school too. I mean, paints a good picture. But
you know, my view of Belleville changes. I get all the time dealing with the out of town people, and most of these people they're not researching the heck out of Belleville and stuff like that. They drive through and go,
this
is such a sweet little town, or they come here to visit a relative or a friend, and if we have a place for them to stay, we got a better chance of them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
I get tons of people through the store every week.
Yeah.
You know, every week just stopping by.
Yeah.
And you'd be shocked at how many foreign tourists.
Yeah.
You know, because there's an Austin to Houston trail, because that's where the flights come in.
Yeah.
So you get people coming through. I get people coming through all the time.
Yeah.
I sold a bunch of horseshoeing equipment to some guys from South Africa.
Wow.
And they were like, oh, my buddy wants some of this stuff.
You sell pontoon?
Yeah, you asked me that.
And then, Kevin, Angel Nails isn't on here with his 8 bedrooms.
Right.
Because he just went into... He just started having... He has written the heck out of them things.
Really?
And they are... They're not... I mean, they're very clean, and I mean, everything in there, it was gutted and completely redone.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's, you know, every bed spread's the same. There's no, you know, ambiance like it is in these other places.
Well, I know Cowboy, when he brought in those guys for the Forest and Fire thing, put a lot of people up there.
Yeah.
That was something he really struggled with, was trying to find enough places for people to stay for that.
Thank you for the hotel report, Mr. Chase.
Hey,
very good timing.
Thank Betty for getting in such a such a hurry or whatever. You know, there's, while we're on this, if I can mention this, you know, something that concerns me about these last two of them is they don't have a sign. I mean, you know, me driving around, I mean, I'm sure most...
I met with them last night, and they're going to ask for a sign grant. They're going to come back for a sign grant also.
Well, you know, because I'm almost thinking, you know, how do you, you know, if unless you go online...
But that's what almost everybody is online.
You know, most of it's done online before.
Nobody drives around looking
But around here, but, you know, me driving by, if I have somebody coming over... You know, I'd say, hey, this is a neat little old place over here.
Yeah.
You know, next time we have visitors, you can stay over here or whatever. Yeah.
I mean, but, I think a sign would help, but like, you know, I mean, look where I am.
Yeah.
And I'm booked.
Yeah.
Every weekend that my house is open, I'm booked pretty much.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
It's just, I see it.
Well, you could charge a high tax to send it to the city.
Huh?
You could charge a high
tax. Thank you, though. I'm supporting Bill Walnut.
Other committees?
Yeah.
Do we need to run Bruce out executive session?
I don't. Anybody else need to?
I was going to give y'all a Clans Road update. It is not going to, it's all over to Bruce.
We're recording it and it goes on the website.
Well, it does?
Yes.
I'll step out.
Oh, then we need to go on executive session.
Okay. Well, is it a...
Yeah, what...
I can't just do updates unless it's we're negotiating.
No, then it's
then just hold
okay. It's just dead. It is not going in the city of Belleville.
Okay.
The city of Belleville promised a whole lot of stuff they could not come through with. They have no money. They're broke, and they can't they can't even provide any city service. They're not capable of doing that. So we will not. The city of Belleville will not gain 65 homes.
Way to end on a positive.
Yeah.
That's not good. Not good. No action.
Okay.
Adjourned
at 7:35.
I didn't know that was on the website.
Yes, ma'am.